It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The French government slaps Google with a record fine. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In an ongoing copyright dispute, France's competition watchdog has issued Google a record $600 million fine. The regulator said the tech giant did not negotiate in good faith about paying news outlets for the content it uses on its news aggregation platform. Google now has 2 months to fix the problem or face daily fines north of $1 million. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains what landed the U.S. tech behemoth in hot water in the first place.
Google has this news aggregator function whereby you can search for news material and it provides small excerpts and headlines from news suppliers around the world. And many of them have long been resentful about what they regard as being an unfair use of their copyright material. And a large number of French suppliers have been taking action against Google. There is a framework agreement in place with a large number of French news suppliers, but some of the really key players are not happy with that arrangement, and they went to the French regulator and they have got this ruling against Google, which is now facing this rather substantial fine.
For tech giants like Google, these kinds of fines are still relatively small. So what precedent do you think this could ultimately set around the world?
It's certainly not an immediate challenge to the finances of a company whose earnings are tens of billion dollars a year and has actually been fined in the past $5 billion by the European Union. But certainly, I think it does indicate a world in which I think many more regulators will be looking at the possibility of whether news publishers should be more compensated by Google. We've already had legislation being looked at in Australia, where Google was looking at the possibility of pulling out of the country. I'm quite sure we'll see much more action of this type.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Victoria.
Well, staying in France, President Emmanuel Macron has announced coronavirus vaccinations will be mandatory for the nation's healthcare workers. In a televised address, he gave anyone in the sector until September 15th to get vaccinated. The BBC's Hugh Schofield has more on that from Paris.
In order to beat back the Delta variant and the predicted surge in hospital cases, President Macron said the answer was vaccination and then more vaccination. And so, amid recent signs that uptake of the vaccination program has been slowing, he's decided to push ahead with compulsory inoculation for all people who come into contact with the vulnerable. In addition, the so-called health pass on paper or mobile phone, which has till now played only a marginal role in most people's lives, is set to become an indispensable tool, because from August it'll be required for simple access to bars, cafes, shopping centres, planes and long-distance trains, as well as social and cultural gatherings of more than 50 people.
That's Hugh Schofield reporting from the French capital there. As we check the numbers now, global stock benchmarks are little changed this morning. Here in London, shares of the country's banking giants are up more than 1%. That's after the Bank of England eased pandemic-era restrictions on their ability to issue dividend payments. That came in the central bank's twice-yearly financial stability report, which said UK banks have been resilient through the crisis. But it warned while those banks will likely need to continue providing lending support to households and corporations, debt vulnerabilities have increased substantially among smaller companies. Elsewhere, oil prices are up about 0.5% today. This morning, the International Energy Agency said the supply glut caused by travel restrictions around the world last year has been largely worked off. Because of that, it warns prices could balloon if OPEC and its allies don't reach a deal to increase supplies soon. Last week, talks among participating nations ended in a stalemate. It's one of the biggest questions now facing the industry, particularly at a time when activist investors are calling for greener energy production as economies return to some semblance of normalcy. The BBC's Manuela Saragossa then has been looking into what the future of the industry looks like in a lower carbon world.
The transition to a lower carbon future brings opportunity.
The pressure is clearly on for the world's oil giants to diversify away from fossil fuels. Add to that legal pressure too. In May this year, a court in the Netherlands ruled in a landmark case that the oil giant Shell's own plans for cutting carbon emissions didn't go far enough. The court gave the company the more ambitious target of cutting CO2 emissions by 45% by the end of this decade.
This is a big disruption to the oil and gas industry. And when you're in a business where your principal product is in a diminishing demand, then you must change.
John Brown is the former CEO of another oil giant, BP. So does he think oil companies even have a future?
It remains to be seen. If oil and gas can be used for power generation, for electricity, and the emissions of carbon dioxide can be captured and stored, so-called carbon capture and storage, then it allows for a longer lifetime of the use of oil and gas. Some oil and gas companies who are quoted today will definitely survive. Some will not. There's no doubt about that as well.
Let's get the perspective of a climate change activist. Charlie Cronick is the Senior Programme Advisor and Finance Lead for Greenpeace UK.
People have invested in oil for the last two decades because of the returns that they get on the investment. They've been investing for the dividend. And the transformation to low carbon, whether it's renewables, energy efficiency, or delivering energy services, those margins are going to be lower. And the question for investors is, are they going to be willing to accept those lower returns on those particular investments in exchange for the fact that we're not going to have massive disruptive climate change blowing a huge hole in the global economy? You know, Kodak's not very big anymore. Blockbuster doesn't exist anymore. I mean, already the big oil companies have fallen out of the Dow Jones top index, and they are rapidly going to be disappearing from the FTSE.
So there's a distinct possibility that as oil companies try to adapt to a low-carbon future, some of the world's largest players might end up like Kodak or Blockbusters, companies that have struggled to survive amid changing technology and markets. I'm the BBC's Manuela Saragossa for Marketplace.
And finally, a new study says smartphone and satellite technology can help indigenous communities in the Amazon significantly curb deforestation. Mapping apps, which have been used in Peru, alert users about tree removal, most of which is done by illegal miners, loggers, and drug producers. Researchers found the alerts helped reduce tree losses by half in the first year of the project. And experts say if the technology was applied on indigenous lands with highest rates of deforestation, losses could be reduced by three quarters. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.